Want to bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Appreciated much of what we've heard and want to welcome each one to this part of the service. I'd like to begin with a verse in James chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And it goes on to say, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." I'd like to focus primarily on that first part. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I'd like to look this morning at a story that we have in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 22. Probably you remember reading this story in Sunday school or Bible school. It's an very unusual one in the sense of how old a king could be. How many 8-year-old boys do we have here this morning? How many 8-year-olds? One here, one back there, another one. Okay. See several of them. 8 years old. Now, how would you like to be a king? A king. What does a king do? A king tells everybody else what to do, doesn't he? Well, would you like to do that? Tell everybody else what to do? That'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? I wouldn't even like to do that, and I'm not 8 years old. But this is a story about Josiah. It said he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, and the daughter of Adaiah of Bosca. There's a lot of names there that are a little hard to say. But verse 2, it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left." And in that little glimpse that we have of his life, we have a big window into what was important to Josiah. Because he was living in a time when it was very, Judah was very wicked. Israel had already been taken captive and was dispersed by Babylon. And it was probably right at the time that Daniel was over there in Babylon somewhere. Could be. I didn't check that, but I know that it was in the time of that Israel had already been taken away. But before Josiah, his father's name was Amon, and he only served a short time and was killed. But his grandfather was Manasseh, and Manasseh had quite a record. Manasseh was a man that he started also serving when he was king at 12 years old. We have that story in 1 Kings chapter 21. And it says here that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. And it talks about all the wickedness that Manasseh did. He built up the high places that Hezekiah, his father, had torn down. And he established again the worship of the groves, and he established the worship of Baal, and he worshiped the hosts of heaven, and he went right into the temple courts, and he made these altars for the courts of the host of heaven. And he engraved images, and he even offered his children to Molech, which is actually too terrible for us to talk about. These were all things that Manasseh did, which was his grandfather. And this was just a few years before Josiah served. And so it adds a lot of weight to the fact that when it says that Josiah did that which was right, and he turned not to the right hand nor to the left, It's more than just a passing statement here. We see a man, a young man, whose heart was turned toward God, and God used him in a tremendous way for his good. Now let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22 and read this story. 1 Kings 22, verse 3, and it says, "It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king set Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, 'Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum up the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto the carpenters and the builders and the masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning of them made with them of the money that was delivered unto their hand, because they dealt faithfully.'" You know, probably about 6 years before this time is when this would have actually started, that Josiah gave money to all the builders of the temple, and they were building, rebuilding the temple that had fallen into disrepair. Probably nothing had been done in the temple for good for 100 years. And the buildings there were built of masonry, a lot of it. Some of it was wood. There were some wood beams there. But just leaving something lie, no matter what it's built out of, for 100 years, is going to obey one of the laws of nature, and that is to disintegrate. And so that's what was happening here. And so evidently 6 years into the project was when they had this big find. In verse 8 it says, "And then Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, 'Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered into the hand of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord.' And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book.' And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Mehechiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah the servant of the king, saying, 'Go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words that are of this book that is found. For the great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us.' So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Ashiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense unto other gods. They have, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and accursed, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, that thou shalt be gathered unto thy graven piece, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. There are several things that I think are extremely outstanding here. One is that when they found the book of the law, and most scholars believe that it was the book of Deuteronomy that was being read. And it's really interesting when you look back into the book of Deuteronomy and see all the things that God had promised to Israel just as they were about to enter into Canaan. All the promises that were made and all the warnings that were made as well of the things that would happen to them if they were not faithful. And so this no doubt was something that brought conviction to the heart of Josiah. And he knew the ways that they were working. And he knew the way that his father and his grandfather, and you know, there were so many wicked kings in Judah. I have a list here of all the kings of Israel, and it has the judgment of God on that, or what God said about them, what the Bible says about them. And in every case, the king of Israel, it says he did evil. And for the kings of Judah, we have Rehoboam, it says he did evil. We have Abiam, he did evil. We have Asa, and he did that which was right. We have Jehoshaphat, he did that which was right. Jehoram did evil. Hazaiah did evil. Ataliah did evil. Joash did right in his youth and did evil in his old age. Amasa did right in his youth and did evil in his old age. Uzziah did that which was right. Jotham did right. Ahaz did evil. Hezekiah did right. Manasseh did evil. Ammon did evil. Josiah did right. And then there's just about two more or three more after that. He was one of the last of the kings to serve in Judah. But so many of them did evil. And so he was in a culture where it was actually probably more normal to do evil than to do what was right, even though he was king of God's people. So that adds some weight to the fact of the decisions that he made. But in chapter 23, we have an account here of the reforms that he did and the sweeping cleaning that he did to his to the nation. But before we look at that, I'd like to just look at a few scriptures here in the book of Deuteronomy. One of my favorite ones that I always just enjoy reading it for the sheer pleasure that my mind sees is in chapter 8. This is what he says. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep his commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and of vines and of fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and draught, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. You know, it goes on and on to say all the good things that they experienced at the hand of the Lord when they were walking through the wilderness. This is written before they actually entered into Canaan. But he's promising them the good things of life. He's promising them harvests, a land that flows with milk and honey. It sounded for Israel, I'm sure, almost too good to be true. They were used to gathering the manna every day. Every day they would go out to gather the manna for that day's supply. And on Saturday and on Friday they would do it for 2 days. And then when they were complained for meat, God gave them quail. But their food was really limited. And, you know, those of us that like to eat, we probably like a variety of things, and we probably wouldn't like just rice or just potatoes or just one thing to eat day after day. And so I have a bit of sympathy for the Israelites that got tired of the manna. But it was something that God had given them and something that they needed to be thankful for. And so they needed to go beyond the selfish desires that they had and see that God was providing for them. And God promised great things for them. But he warned them with every promise. He warned them again and again of that their heart not turn away when they're experiencing the good things that God has given them, to not let their heart be turned away. They already knew that their heart was turned away when they experienced the hard times, when they came out into the wilderness and they were thirsty. Their heart was turned from God, and God turned it back again by giving them water. When they saw the Pharaoh's army coming, their heart was fearful, and God delivered them, and the army drowned in the Red Sea. And so they experienced a lot of things that should have told them that God is faithful and he's going to always supply their needs, but they were people, and they didn't remember, and they didn't take seriously the things that he had said, either by forgetfulness or deliberately turning. But we see that they, as we follow the history of Israel, we see them doing all of the things that were warned against in the book of Deuteronomy. We see them making graven images. We see them following the gods of the people of the land. And we see them even offering their children to Molech. And it's terrible, the things that they were involved in and how far they actually went away from God. And so when we see a king like young King Josiah rising up and saying he's going to serve the Lord, And it says he turned not from the right hand nor to the left, but he followed God. And when this book of the law was read to him, he took it very, very seriously. And it says he rent his clothes and he was determined to obey what was written in there. And he did. And so he immediately set out on a campaign to obey the Lord's instructions, and he assembled the population at Jerusalem. And in the book of the law here, it says someplace, whenever they are gathered together every 7 years, they were to read the entire book to them. And this is what he did. He stood by the pillar. I think that's in chapter 23, where it says that he stood by the pillar and they read this book. Now, I don't know how long it takes to read the entire book of Deuteronomy today. If you have access to audio Bible, it's really a pleasure just to read, just to listen to chapter after chapter, and you can get a much better setting, a much better picture of what is done rather than just reading one chapter yourself at a time. So if you listen to it, you can gain even more insight there, but it's good to read it. So this is the first thing he did, is he read the book of the law, and then he renewed the covenant that God had made with them. And he invited the people as well to pledge themselves to this covenant. And then he went out and he destroyed the shrines and the high places. And he burnt, he actually dug the bones out of the sepulchers and burned them on the altars of the people, of the priests that were considered sacred in these burial sites. And remember, a number of years, 300 years before, there was a Jeroboam, the prophet, that the man of God came to see and told him and gave him some judgments. We see that in, I think, 1 Kings 13 or something, or maybe 2 Kings, but anyhow. And when the prophet prophesied against Jeroboam, he reached out his hand to, he said, get that man. And that hand became something. He couldn't pull it back in to himself again because of the disease that he had. And he prayed to the prophet to heal him. Well, that prophet's grave was there at Bethel. And Josiah came upon that. And he said, what's this inscription? And they told him, this is where that prophet is that was buried, that the man of God that prophesied against that altar. Well, he left that grave alone. But the rest of them, he pulled the bones out and he burned it on the altar and desecrated it. He did as thorough cleanup job as he could. His heart was for serving the Lord and bringing revival back, bringing the Lord's blessing back again to the people. And then it says that he initiated the Passover again, which hadn't been done for years and years. And they had to, they observed the Passover, which was all the work of God's work in Israel and bringing them out of the land of Egypt and so on. And it was also, of course, looking forward to Christ's redemption. But in that, he himself supplied them with 33,000 animals to celebrate the Passover. And the Bible also says that there was nothing done like this since the days of Samuel the prophet, which was 400 years earlier. And so this revival that Josiah initiated was a tremendous time of blessing for Israel in a time of desperate darkness. And the thing that's encouraging to me is that this was one man whose heart was turned toward God. This was one man who was determined not to turn to the right hand or to the left, but to follow the Lord with all his heart. And in doing that, he influenced many, many people for the good. You know, in the setting that it was given there, Israel and Judah's wickedness was so great before the Lord that, you know, it slowed down judgment. Maybe we could say that, you know, his heart was right, but he was killed in a battle then with the Egyptians when they went up to battle. They were fighting either the Assyrians or the Babylonians, and Josiah was wounded in the battle and was killed, he was wounded and died, and then his son was king for a very short time till the Pharaoh disposed him and made his brother king, and then he was under tribute, and so it was the end of a good time for Israel. If they would have continued in following the Lord, following Josiah's wishes, their nation would have been stronger. But I don't know. He was a man that was in a very difficult situation, but his heart was to follow the Lord, and that's the testimony that we have of him today, is that he followed the Lord and turned not to the right hand or to the left, because on one condition is that he took the word of God seriously. You know, his heart was already turned toward God before he heard the word of the law, but then when he heard that, he was determined to do it, and he did. And so what would it be like if all Christians today that say they believe in the word of God would take the word of God seriously in all areas that apply to them? What would it be in our day and in our lives, in our families? I'm convinced that all of us would say that we believe that the Bible is the word of God. And I believe that, and we have strong testimony. In 2 Timothy 3, 16, it says that the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, and for a number of things like that, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's terribly important that we have our anchor point as the word of God, that the word of God is a strong anchor for us. And actually, the word brings us to Christ. The word brings us to Christ, and that's even a stronger anchor point. Now, the two are not going to contradict each other, so we can safely say that. But following Christ is the mission of the Christian in every respect, and it's going to make a difference in how we look at the world and how the world sees us as well. One of the closing verses in Deuteronomy, it says this, Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, it says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end." And most of the time when Israel was falling into idolatry, they were doing it to appease their neighbors, whatever, for the present. Many of the things worked, but their end was destruction because of their turning away from God. So today, the call for us is to take the word of God seriously, to make it an anchor point in our life. And one of the things that I often have to think of is Jesus' words when he was talking to his disciples. And he said this. He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." He also said that ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Jesus' words to his disciples were that the Christian church was going to be distinguished by its love one for another. And so that's a constant for us today. It's still true that this is going to be a way that the true Christians are known. If our anchor point is the Word of God, if our anchor point is to follow Christ and to be known as a follower of His, it's going to be holding things important that He holds important, and to be like He wants us to be. And that's going to involve a lot of, it's going to involve every area of life. Honesty, our values, our walk, and all of that. So let's take courage from this one man, this 8-year-old, that was determined to serve the Lord. You know, he was only 25 when that book of the law was found, and he rent his clothes and determined to follow that. In our culture, sometimes we discredit the zeal of youth. And I think there have been many times in history when youth has shown the way. So youth, you have the opportunity to be an example of what God's followers really are, what the follower of Christ really looks like in today's world. In 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles 34, we have his story as well. It parallels the story in Kings very much, except for the fact that in one place it talks about what he was doing at 12, 12 years after he was made king. But in both of those, we have Josiah being serious about his serving the Lord, and in both of those we have him taking seriously what God said in His Word. And so that's, I think, the two things that we can all apply our lives to today. It's a different time, it's a different age, it's a different culture, and yet those things are constant. Take the Word of God for what it says seriously, follow him.